So our reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How can we stand firm in God's grace? Under great pressure, how can we stand firm in God's grace? I don't need to tell you the pressure, stresses, concerns that we are experiencing as individuals at the moment. But my question is not as an individual, but as a church. How can we, St. Mary's, stand firm under great pressure? Before I came to St. Mary's, I studied engineering, and the engineering department had a machine called an Instron machine. These machines were used to test properties of material, so for example, you fix a sample in place and the machine would input a force and over time increase the pressure on that sample. And you can take measurements on the effects it has on the material. So for example, if you fixed a kind of a glass block in the machine, then quite quickly the pressure would cause a spectacular failure. The glass would fracture and smash. But if you fixed a metal block in the machine, it would sustain much greater force before it failed. Much like a sample in an Instron machine, it's clear that we are facing increasing pressure at the moment. And this pressure has the ability to crush, divide, and harm us. With the many challenges we're meeting, many of us could drift away from God or from each other. Or under the stresses we face, there is scope for us to disagree with each other and division between us. But God's longing is that the church would stand firm in God's grace. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 12 says this. Peter says, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. God longs that under pressure, we would stand firm together. That we would stand firm with our eyes fixed on God's grace, with our hope set in glory. So under this great pressure, how can we stand firm in God's grace? Well, Peter gives us two big answers in today's passage. Firstly, love one another because we have been made imperishable. This is verses 22 to 25. Love one another because we have been made imperishable. Let's start by looking at verse 22. It says this. Now that you have been purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. If the church is to stand firm under pressure, believers must love one another deeply from the heart. You see, back in the engineering department and this Instron machine, if the machine inputs all its force and just kind of one point, the corner, for example, of the sample, then the pressure is huge and the sample will fail quickly. But if the force is spread along a flat surface, then the pressure kind of is spread around the sample and the sample will stand firm. As we love each other deeply, it's as if we are spreading the load. As we take each other's burdens, as we love each other and care for each other, we're going to be able to stand firm together under the pressure. So the question for us is, are we doing this? Are we loving one another deeply? It's vital that we do. Yes, there are obvious challenges with this. I don't know about you, but I really miss chatting with people after church, being able to love people by looking out for them on a Sunday. I miss being able to love people by having them round for dinner and caring for them in ways like that. But there are still many ways that we can love each other deeply at this time. And here are a few suggestions. Firstly, aim to know deeply what's happening in the lives of a few others. We can't love people if we don't know people. But we don't need to know, need to feel like we need to know everyone. I remember one preacher helpfully saying, if you know everyone, you don't know anyone. We might feel that we can have hundreds of deep friends, but we can't. We end up not really knowing anyone. Aim to know just a few people really deeply. At the moment, this is going to require some purposefulness. Perhaps you're listening to our services online and you're not linked into a church at all. Please find a Bible-believing church or get in touch with us through the website. We would love to help you get to know some people at St. Mary's. For those part of St. Mary's already, to get to know people, we might need to pick up the phone or ring someone. It might mean joining or becoming more regular at a growth group. It might mean organising a one-to-one walk with someone. But however we do it, loving each other must start with knowing what's happening in each other's lives. Second suggestion, be praying for people. At the moment, who are you praying for from the church? If we love one another deeply, then we will be praying for each other. Thirdly, sacrificially serve each other. This requires some thought about others and their situations. But if someone is lonely, could you go for a walk, a one-to-one walk with them? If someone is struggling mentally, could you be a listening ear over the phone? If someone is poorly, could you do a shop for them? It doesn't always need to be a big thing. A message or a phone call can go a long way. Fourthly, remind each other of God's grace. In these dark days, we need each other more than ever to remind us of God's goodness, his grace in our lives, the hope that we have in to come in glory. We need to stand firm in God's grace, and true love will involve pointing each other to that grace. Now there are some suggestions from me, and it's been a real joy seeing a number of us doing these things over the past year. It's been wonderful to hear of meals cooked for each other, people going on walks together, relationships growing rather than shrinking, people praying for each other. I think there are many signs of us loving each other deeply at the moment. But I also think there will be a number of us giving reasons not to love each other at the moment. With all the challenges, it's tempting not to lift our eyes beyond our own household and struggles. Perhaps we feel there are greater priorities at the moment than loving each other. Or we just don't see the benefits of kind of putting ourselves out there. But very strikingly, Peter is not oblivious to the challenges of loving each other. He knows the original audience of this letter. He knows they are people who are suffering and under great strain. Yet he still tells them, love one another deeply. But he doesn't just give a command. He also gives motivation to love each other as well. Verse 23 says this, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. We are to love one another because we together are imperishable. The church is not normal. We are a miracle. We will last forever. We are a huge contrast to the rest of humanity. Verse 24 continues, All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. There can be some pretty glorious flowers out there. There's reasons why many people love to receive a bunch of them. But they do not last. They wither and fall and die. In the exact same way, many people seem very impressive. Many institutions and organizations seem untouchable. They have great glory, but they will wither and fall. Whereas the church has been made imperishable. And for that reason, we are to love each other deeply. You see, we don't love everyone the same, do we? We love people differently depending on who they are to us. I love my wife differently to how I love my next door neighbours. My neighbours may move away any time, but Kat and I have promised that we will be together till one of us dies. And so I will love Kat to an extent that I won't love my neighbours. Yet the church is even more permanent than a marriage. When we see each other, we are seeing an imperishable and united body. We will be brothers and sisters for eternity. Our bond is so much deeper and longer lasting than any other. So as we love each other, we are bearing the burden and serving relationships that won't just be a flash in the pan. No, we are loving eternal brothers and sisters. We are bearing the burdens of a family that will be with us forever. What great motivation that is to love each other deeply, even when it's hard. So love each other because we have been made imperishable. Now, before we move on to chapter 2 and our second point, I want to make one other key observation. It is not our own strength that has made us imperishable. So far, we have been talking about us a lot. We could think we need to love each other because we, the church, are greater than everyone else. We are imperishable because we are strong. But that is not the case. When I was a student, I remember being challenged by a guy at church for enjoying an unhelpful kind of Christian song called Conqueror. Here are some of the lyrics from that song. Regardless of what you see, regardless of what you've heard, you are a conqueror. You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the first and not the last. You are a conqueror. Rightly, my friend's issue with this song was that it's all about us rather than God. The song is saying we are great, we have conquered, we are strong. But let's see what Peter has to say. Well, verse 23 says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Friends, we are imperishable. We will conquer death, but not because we are great, but because God is great. God has worked a miracle in our lives. Through his word, he has made us imperishable. God has spoken to all who believe. Through the Bible, he has shown us Christ and his death and resurrection. Through the scriptures, he has given us a living hope that we will follow in Christ's footsteps, that we will join Christ in an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. So we are not saying love each other because we are all great enough to be imperishable. No, we love each other because God has wonderfully, undeservedly made us imperishable. And he has done so through his word, the Bible. And this leads us nicely on to our second point. Crave God's word so that we may grow. This is chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Crave God's word so we may grow. If we are to stand firm in God's grace, we need to crave God's word so we may grow. We need to grow. It's vital that we do. Now, this past New Year's Eve in the Adams household, we were discussing which New Year was stranger, this year's having to isolate or the one a year ago on a kind of 20 New Year's Eve 2019. That year, 2019, our son Josh was 5 days old and he was weighed and had lost a whole load of weight. Having come out of hospital only a few days earlier, we were sent back. And it was a great concern to doctors and us that Josh was not growing. It was very obvious that once a baby is born, it is vital that they grow. In verse 23, Peter has reminded us that we have been born again. Now he tells the believers they must grow so they can stand firm. Verse 1 to 3 is all one sentence in the original, and it tells us what we need to grow. Verse 1 shows us that there are some things that stunt growth. Peter says, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander of every kind. The assumption is that these things are happening within the church. At St. Mary's amongst us, there will be malice, harmful actions towards each other, deceit as we harm each other through lying and deception, hypocrisy, we mask evil with the self, with kind of an outward show of self-righteousness, envy as we are annoyed at the good things that happen to others in the church, slander as we speak badly of each other or put each other down. All these things stunt growth. They harm our ability to stand firm. And if we are aware of this in our lives and relationships, we are to rid ourselves of them, chuck them away and get them out of our lives. That's the negative. But positively, what we need to grow is found in verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. You see, New Year's Eve 2019, the reason why Josh wasn't growing was because he was much more interested in sleeping than eating. He did not want milk. He needed to long for milk and then grow. Thankfully, that's quite quickly happened, and a couple of days in hospital sorted him out. But in the same way, to grow, we are to crave pure spiritual milk. You might ask, what is pure spiritual milk? Well, based on the context of this passage, it seems very likely that this is God's word. God's word gave us new birth and made us imperishable. Through that word, we have tasted God's goodness. And now, as we crave it, it will cause us to grow. It can be tempting to think that this book, the Bible, makes very little difference to our lives. But this passage is such a helpful reminder of the impact of God's word. The Bible is not insignificant. No, through it, God has worked a miracle in our lives and made us born again as imperishable. And if God's word can do that miracle, then of course God's word can grow us. If God's word can bring new birth, then if we are drinking deeply of it, of course it can change us and make us mature. It can strengthen us to stand firm in the pressure that surrounds us. So let's crave and long for God's word. Now this is much more than just kind of reading your Bible or joining Sunday regularly. Peter is talking about our desires, our gut longing. We are to desperately thirst for God's word, longing that we would hear him speak, hungry to see his character in the pages of scripture. So friends, is this our attitude towards God's word? I remember hearing of a Bible study group who each week would share how they were struggling to regularly read the Bible. So one week they made a controversial plan. They agreed that they would only read the Bible if they wanted to. So if for a few days they didn't want to read the Bible, they wouldn't. But they also planned to ask God regularly to give them the desire to read the Bible. They asked God that they would crave this pure spiritual milk. And the Lord answered their prayer. their desire for God's word grew, and actually they read their Bibles more than ever. If we know in our hearts that we are not craving God's word, then ask that he would change our desires. Ask that God would make us long to hear from him day by day. Ask that God would make us thirst for the next Sunday sermon or midweek Bible study. Ask God that we would be able to declare, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Friends, craving God's word is needed now more than ever. I don't know about you, but if I obsess over the latest news story, then it leads to despair. In this time of pressure and concern, God's word is what keeps us standing firm. In God's word, we find hope. In God's word, we find what we need to persevere. So crave God's word so we may grow. That opening question again. Under great pressure, how can St. Mary stand firm in God's grace? Well, we love each other deeply, knowing that we have been made imperishable by God's word, and we crave that word which changes us and grows us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this time of great pressure, Lord, give us all the strength that we need to stand firm. Lord, we thank you that we are not alone, but that we have brothers and sisters that you have given us, not just for the now, but for eternity. And Father, we pray that we would have the strength and the motivation and the care to love each other deeply. And Father, Lord, as well as loving each other, Lord, please would you give us a deep desire to hear from you through your word. Lord, please would you be changing our hearts to crave and long to hear from you day by day. Lord, please would your word be what sustains and keeps. Please would it help us persevere through these tough days. In Jesus' name, amen.